On the line, we have renowned guest of the show, Don Sutherland. How are you this morning?
G'day, Tobias. Phil, greetings to all listeners.
Hello, Don. Before we get started, we'll just introduce what we're talking about today. So coming up next week, Treasurer Jim Chalmers is set to host his three-day economic reform roundtable, previously known as the Productivity Summit. It's had a rebrand in Canberra from August the 19th to the 21st. So that's going to be a meeting of leaders from business, unions, civil society, government and other experts to discuss three main themes: resilience, productivity and budget sustainability and tax reform. So ready to hear your thoughts, Don.
Well, they are many, but let's just take as a starting point, because it is a very important issue. What is essentially going on is that the Labor government, because it is in its own way a competent government, is looking for endorsement of a broader and in some ways different approach to managing the major problems that we all face day to day relative to what happened in the election. So it went to the election with a very modest program. And the essence of the issue is that they do know that that very modest program is not going to solve those major problems over the life of the next two governments. Now, we're likely to have a Labor government for 6 and maybe 9 years. That means that they know that they are directly responsible, to the extent that government is, in managing the dynamics of this rotten system. They don't define it as rotten, of course.
Don, maybe you could explain a little bit about what some of these really quite deep-rooted economic problems that the government is trying to address with reform.
Well, happily. This is really important. There are three major ones, and there's two others that spin off. Firstly, there is the living standards, a distribution of wealth, production of wealth dimension of the problems. The global situation and the specific Australian situation is a story of stagnation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not likely. There is no sign that that is going to change of its own accord. And that means downward pressure on living standards for the 90%. The second dimension, which is also economic, is the ecological dimension. Not just climate change, but desperately climate change is redefining life as we know it. And that has very serious implications when I think about it, the next generations that flow on from my life, that it's going to be a desperately difficult life at some point or another. And the government knows this.
Mm-hmm.
The third aspect is the warmongering solution, which is becoming necessary, although profoundly wrong, because in all of its complications and contradictions, China is providing the clues of a serious alternative to the momentum of barbarism.
And one of the biggest clues of that kind of emerging is progress with the BRICS. So Brazil, Russia, India and China progressing with their own currency, so moving away from the US dollar, which is obviously pretty big shift away from kind of post-World War II economic hegemony of the US. Just to touch on one of your previous points about the environment, obviously one of the biggest reasons why environmental issues are economic issues is because the resources that are available are going to be available at a global level, but also for Australians are going to change completely. Can you talk a little bit about the current approach Labor and their Environment Minister, Murray Watt, are taking to some of these resource questions?
Well, this is a very interesting shift, isn't it, from putting Watt in charge. You know, he's defined as a problem solver from the point of view of a government that has inherited a lot of problems. A lot of the problems that Labor is dealing with are not of their own making. Even though they've been in government for 3 years, they go back and they've been developed by the gross incompetence of Liberal governments. However, so the problem that the employers are taking to the round table is that they say that productivity is impeded by too much green and red tape.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly they see Watt, Murray Watt, as a minister who is willing to solve that problem in their interests.
And sorry, sorry to interrupt you, but I'm just kind of chomping at the bit to make this point. I think so much of this issue is really about Labor needing to manage the Western Australian branch of the party. They obviously had a kind of landslide majority win in Western Australia, and that's a really big part of their majority in government right now. And Western Australia and the mining industry's grip on the Labor Party there is in direct conflict with some of this desire for environmental legislation and reform. So I would love to hear your thoughts about how the Albanese government is trying to manage the kind of split interests of the Western Australian branch of the Labor Party and the Southeast branches of the Labor Party.
Well, I think the I don't think there is a huge split.
Mm-hmm.
What you're saying about one of the distinctive features of the Western Australian branch is, of course, the dominance of mining corporation interests.
Mm-hmm.
In how Labor government governs in WA. But big capital has got its tentacles well and truly wrapped into the South Australian government.
Mm-hmm.
And to Labor in Queensland.
That's the truth.
Sorry, just to clarify, I'm talking more about the kind of East Coast Labor membership being pretty on board with environmental reform and moving forward on climate. And then you've got other parts of the country that are really, well, essentially in the back pocket of the mining industry.
I don't want to get bogged in a deep discussion about what's going on in the Labor Party, but it's certainly true that there is a terrific effort being put in by many Labor Party sub-branch people through organisations within the Labor Party, like the Labor Environmental Action Network, to take on this governance that produces extra exploitation of nature along with people that is beckoning at the present time. That's very true. And I'm not sure how deep that goes in Western Australia. I'm not close enough to the situation to make a sensible comment about it.
Don, one of the things that's interesting, because we are coming to the end of this because we have limited time, but, going back to Paul Keating's adage, you don't call a meeting unless you know exactly what the outcomes are going to be. What do you think that their outcomes are going to be with this meeting?
Well, I think their primary effort is to get a national-level endorsement of reforms, in inverted commas, that go beyond what they took to the election. They're not going to rush through those. They're going to work their way through them, but they're seeking to build it up. And interestingly, they're not just doing it at the national level. There are these roundtables happening at departmental level, run by ministers, but also at the electorate level. In the seat of Braddon, a neighbour of mine in Tasmania, there was an economic roundtable last week. So they're taking it into the community and they're seeking to get, I'll use that word, that hegemonic endorsement or acceptance of solutions that favour big business. because that's where the problem is. In essence, the round table's real agenda, the hidden agenda, is profitability, not productivity. And you can read about that at my... I've written two blogs on that, and that's available at my Substack page.
Sorry to interrupt, Don, but I think that's a great segue to kind of call back to one of your previous points about slimming down the red and green tape and that being such an important move towards increasing, as you say, profitability. And there's obviously been a lot of signalling from Murray Watt and also Jim Chalmers around delivering faster approvals for projects. So maybe you could tell us a little bit more about, just to finish up, you could talk about the way that the government and the Productivity Commission is trying to balance.
I don't think they are trying to balance. I mean, you're in Tasmania, and Murray Watt's just waded in and says that, oh no, it's okay to have the salmon industry polluting the waters down there and killing off the skate. So, I mean, really, they're not trying to balance it, are they?
No, I don't think they are. But what they are trying to do is demonstrate a level of competence and know-how, which I think they do have. And then secondly, I don't agree with that, the character of it, but I do think they have it. And then secondly, to get endorsement for solutions that are going to solve the problem of profitability in the guise of tackling productivity.
Yeah.
Now, the real question with respect is that is what do we on the left do about all of this? And there's four or five key points there we have no time for. But one of them must be we must develop our own alternative economic and ecological program. Mm-hmm. And I think the model that is worth paying attention to, I think there are two, actually, to conceive how that can be done, is firstly the way in which the our Aboriginal organisations worked through deep level, local level consultations leading up to the Uluru Convention several years ago. That just wasn't a Uluru conference. It was a process leading up to it that was profound in how it sought to engage and teach at the same time communities at a deep level. Now, conceptually, that's how we should begin to produce a synthesized program alternative to what the government is offering. And I think that's a 3 to 4 year project, 5 year project, I don't know. But that's the orientation for our work. The alternative is sort of there, but is in atomized bits and pieces. We need to get it brought into a more complete and synthesized expression of the priorities of the majority.
So what you're saying is don't be reactive, be proactive.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Don't just whinge about what Labor is doing, because in principle, some aspects of what Labor is doing, we would do if we were in government.
Mm.
But we would do it very differently, I would hope.
Well, we'll have to end it there, but we'll put a link to your Solidarity Dynamics page so people can explore some of the things that you're talking to us about.
Yes, well, there'll be more coming as well about the taxation element, and also, of course, I will elaborate on this sort of a strategy to develop a people's program.
Great. Well, we'll talk more about that next time we speak to you in a couple of weeks' time. Thanks very much for talking to us today, Don.
Great to talk with the gang of three.
See you, Don.
All the best. Bye.